Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back. It's my mate Bought a Toaster. Tom Price here with you. I'm very, very happy to welcome my guest this week, the fabulous comedian Vicky Stone. Hello, Vicky Stone.
Hello, Tom.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I'm really good. How are you?
Well, I'm all right, thanks. I'm okay. I mean, you did just say off air that you've got a bit of a hangover. Come on, share it with the listeners. You are.
Yes, I have. I have got a bit of a hangover. The trouble is, I think when this sort of, you know, lockdown drinking thing is that I just find myself opening a bottle of Prosecco and then just drinking it.
It happens.
It does happen, because normally if you're in a pub, you'd go and get a glass and you'd have a couple and you wouldn't have this. You know, I wouldn't go into a pub and just buy a massive bottle of Prosecco for myself.
Yeah.
But this is what's happening at the moment. So I just drank a bottle of Prosecco in my neighbour's garden. The neighbours were also there. I wasn't trespassing.
Just choosing a random neighbour's garden to sit in.
Pop.
Yeah, exactly. Hi. What's that popping noise? Vicky's back.
Yeah.
That sounds rather idyllic, to be honest. Prosecco on a actually, it's not even that summery, but on a sort
it's
of...
It's not that summery, but I mean... This is where a gilet comes into its own.
Oh God!
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I normally haven't really got much wear for a gilet, because it's a sort of, you wear it for a day in spring and 2 days in the autumn. But actually, at the moment, a gilet's really come into its own, because you're just wearing it in a garden all the time.
You need a gilet. You need a bottle of Prosecco, maybe a black lab and a Range Rover, and you're essentially a Tory wife. You're there.
Yes, I mean, the trouble is that I've got a spaniel, so I'm quite close.
And God!
I know.
Okay, all right. Good, well, congratulations.
Fiat 500, though, so I'm fine.
Oh, fine. Yeah, in that case, you're a solid Lib Dem. In that case,
yeah, exactly. That's fine.
Very safe indeed. All right, good. Now, so Vicky Stone, we are going back into your past. That's what we do on My Mate Bought a Toaster. I'm looking at your Amazon purchase history. You've sent me a huge amount of stuff. I mean, we emailed back and forth about this, and you were like, I'm going to send you loads of stuff. You sent me about 68,000 screen grabs, which is brilliant. And some of the stuff you've bought. We're going to go back to December 2011, first of all. So heading towards Christmas 2011, you've bought the LifeMax Light Pod. You've gone for the 107A. I'm more of a 107B kind of guy. But this is the SAD, Portable Simulated Daylight Box. SAD, Seasonally Adjusted Disorder. But very helpful that it spells out the word sad, because it can make people V-sad, can't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those... I don't have that item anymore. In fact, I don't even know where it is.
Okay.
So that hasn't lasted. That obviously, whatever I decided to buy that for, obviously, that's a sad light meant to sort of wake you up nicely.
Yeah.
Obviously, it didn't work, so I don't have it anymore. Couldn't tell you where that is. No idea. I don't have one anymore.
So. Well, they're slightly weird things, because it's about the size of, I don't know, like a large TV screen maybe, or a medium TV screen. And you put it on and it bounces a load of light in your face. My auntie got one, and it was really funny, because we'd just walk in the room every now and again and she'd be staring at it. And I was like, you're going to burn your retina out, Jane. What are you doing? But it's what people do, isn't it? They just sit in front of them and wait for the magical chemicals to do their thing.
Yeah. This one wasn't quite that big. I think this one was about the size of, which is relevant to this podcast, a small toaster.
Thank you. Good. Yeah. All size descriptions on this podcast must be in relation to a toaster.
Good rule. Small one, a two slicer.
Okay, good. But do you still get this? Do you get seasonally adjusted disorder? Is this a serious thing, or was this just a trying it out on Amazon job?
It was a trying it out on Amazon job. I mean, it's one of those things you think, I'm sure, because I get, like with this whole lockdown quarantine thing, is that you feel like you can cope with it when the days are nice, and when it's grey, you're like, this is awful. This is terrible. Yeah. So I think so. But I mean, it's not been diagnosed, just a bit of Google diagnosis.
I know.
As I do for everything.
Isn't it great? It's amazing how Google has made us all such fabulous medical narcissists. We can all just dive into ourselves on Google and diagnose several hundred different things.
Yeah, I mean, the next thing I want, and they're eye-wateringly expensive, but I'd like one of those anxiety blankets.
You mean a gravity blanket?
Yeah, one of those. I mean, now my dog's got an anxiety t-shirt.
I can see that on here. This comes much later.
Right, it does come much later.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
There is an anxiety. I mean, although it's slightly cruel to get a dog an anxiety blanket that's heavy, because that's just going to weigh them down. Surely that's going to make them anxious.
Yeah, the dog anxiety shirt. So what it does, it simulates like a hug. So it applies a certain amount of pressure to their torso all the time, which makes them feel less. So they won't suffer from separation anxiety and stuff like that, because they feel like they get the feeling that when they're puppies and they're all close together. That's how anxiety jacket works.
Do you think that's what the patriarchy was doing when it invented the corset?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, making women feel like someone's there. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
God, corsets are awful. So the dog likes the anxiety blanket. My father-in-law. We got him a gravity blanket, and he's a huge fan. He's a huge fan. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the gravity blanket thing, essentially it's a bag of stones in a blanket, and you put the blanket on top of you, and it does make you feel strangely swaddled. I mean, why not whack a nappy on as well and give me a boob? Is that weird?
Yeah, I think that's the next phase, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. I have an anxiety boob. Thanks. Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. But that's how you'll do it. That's how you'll make your fortune now. An anxiety boob.
Oh my God. Just so you know, any ideas that we come up with during the podcast are mine and mine alone.
That's absolutely fine. Okay. No problem at all. Thank you.
It's almost like you're not involved in the anxiety boob. I'm going to go to Dragon's Den. Pitch the anxiety boob. Now the dog's come up already, and this is excellent news, because if there's one thing I like talking, well, there's two things I like talking about on My Mate Bought a Toaster. One of them is 90s indie music. And the other thing is dogs. I would gladly talk about dogs all day long. We can see November 2011. It looks like you've made the best decision of your life, because you've bought the Lindem Easy Fit Plus Safety Gate. Whether or not that's to keep the puppy in or the puppy adorers out, because they can be, you know, you do need to get some security when you've got a nice puppy. Everyone starts trying to clamber into your house to meet the puppy. And you bought Puppy School 7 Steps to the Perfect Puppy by Gwen Bailey.
Yes, I do believe that was probably just what date was that?
So this is around December, January 2011 into 2012.
Okay, yeah. So we got Bert in November 2011. So he's obviously being an arsehole. He's obviously become a knob in the first 2 months with us. And I've had to buy a stair gate and a book called 7 Steps to the Perfect Puppy. I think it's interesting that I didn't buy those things before I got Bert. I got them after. So they were a response, I think.
I also like the fact that you put up, you know, for many people, it would be 2 days in, they'd be buying that shit. 2 months,
No, it's 2 months in. 2 months in.
It was obviously a terrible Christmas that year.
Yeah, I think in the early days, Bert's great now. He's a really, really good dog. And but then he was chewing table legs, shoes, just chewing everything and anything that he could get his hands on.
How old were you when you got a dog?
2011. This is now me. Don't want to do some maths.
Oh, soz. Live maths on My Mate Bought a Toaster.
23.
See, that is very, very young to get a dog. Yeah, I think most people get dogs. A lot of people I know who get dogs get them when their kids have got a bit older and they're in their sort of mid 40s. And this isn't a criticism, because I got Polly, a Labradoodle who I adore, when I was 27. And everyone said that's very young to get a dog. So I just think 23, very young.
Yeah, well, Bert's 9 now. More maths there.
Thank you.
Well, he's gonna be 9. He's gonna be, sorry, no, he's 8 in a bit.
Oh,
he's gonna be 9.
Shit maths
be 9
there.
In,
shit maths.
9 in September. 9 in September.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us what made you want to get a dog, apart from the obvious things that dogs are the best thing about life.
Well, this is rather strange, but my ex, who we were living together at the time, got me a cat as a surprise. Our relationship wasn't going very well, and I had gone away to New Zealand to work and then came back and ta-da, happy birthday, here's a cat.
That's weird.
It is weird. And I don't really, up to that point, I'd never expressed a desire for a cat. I don't even really like cats. And I think it was because we were on the verge of breaking up and it was like, I got us a cat.
That is proper panic buying, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it wasn't buying because it was a cat that was a cat that had been living out the back of a Chinese takeaway.
So did he steal a cat, essentially? I've nicked you a cat. Please don't leave me.
I've nicked you a cat from the back of a Chinese takeaway. Leave me.
That must have been... So tell me about that moment when you get back from New Zealand, the relationship is a bit on the ropes and you're looking at a cat. What did you say?
Well, I was like, thanks. you sort of have to... Well, yes, at the time, I mean, I think now as society and through social media and things, I think we're much more, I think younger people will definitely express exactly how they feel. Mm. But I think I'm of a generation that still does, and the generation before, I don't think really expresses how they feel, especially in this country. I think we're like, oh, lovely, thank you, it's a cat, great.
Right.
I don't think we'd actually come out and say, I don't like cats. Why have you got me a cat?
Right. Animal, not a haircut. I mean, we've all been with haircuts where we don't tell the truth, but he's got
animal. I think if I was 23 now and the world being as it was, I think I would just say how I felt, but I didn't at the time. So I didn't like the cat, but I learned to love it. The cat. Mm-hmm. He has the cat now.
Right.
But then to sort of alleviate this, I really like dogs. So to sort of add to our relationship problems, we then got a dog.
Oh, God. So you had a dog and a cat and then split up?
Yeah. And I had Bert and he had Bill, the cat.
Bert and Bill were separate. To be fair, though, that's quite clever getting yourself a dog there, because then you're making, again, coming back to maths, but you're making the maths neat for the split. You're getting the dog to prepare for the split. To say, one each. You know, I'll have the thing I like, you have the thing you like. That's very neat indeed. So you're 23 and you just got back from New Zealand, working in New Zealand. What were you doing out there? Were you doing gigs?
Yeah, New Zealand Comedy Festival.
That's very young to... Again, sorry to...
Have got my age. I might have been 25. I can't work it out.
I mean, listen, it doesn't matter. We don't need passports. Your showbiz age was 19 at this point.
Definitely.
No, I'm really interested that you're out in New Zealand at this point. So tell me a little bit. Give me the sort of potted history of the Vicky Stone. How did you get to a point where you're going to do the comedy festival in your early 20s? What took you there so quickly? Because that is a very quick journey to get there.
Well, I mean, at the time, my agent had other clients there, and I'd just done an advert that year for Yakult, and that got repeated, and it was one of those adverts that, because it had no dialogue, it was my gut that was speaking to me. In this country, Arthur Smith voiced my intestines. But. This is a tangent and a half.
Love it.
Of this Yakult advert, I ended up having loads of money that I hadn't really had before until that point. Mm. Like, I hadn't earned that sort of money ever. And then I was like, fuck, well, yeah, I'll come to the New Zealand Comedy Festival at my own expense and do, you know, my agent was going anyway. So we went together and she had other clients there and I did a few bits and it wasn't, you know, yeah.
Wow. You flew to New Zealand on the wings of Arthur Smith voicing your gut.
Yeah, that was it, yeah.
So now, when you get a gut feeling about something, does Arthur Smith pop up?
No, but we have often, when the advert was on telly and we were on a gig together, we did actually do it live, but wasn't actually as funny to anyone else other than us, because nobody could really remember the Yakult advert where I eat a chip and then Arthur Smith voices my intestines.
one of those sounds like a good idea off stage. On stage.
Yeah. Sounds hilarious off stage. Yeah. On stage, people are like, you people need to do your actual material.
Yeah. good. So Arthur Smith there voicing your insides. I mean, in terms of comics to voice your insides, I'd go for Dara O'Brien.
Well, what was really annoying is that I had recorded the voiceover of my own intestine.
Right.
You know, and then they replaced me with Arthur Smith. I was a bit pissed off, actually.
Yeah, again, this is a different time, though, Vicky.
When was a different time.
The patriarchy, again, in charge of your insides. Of course her insides are a man, because it's an efficient system. How could a woman possibly be in charge of her own body?
Exactly.
God.
I know.
Sorry to put a hardcore read on it, but it's there, isn't it? It's there.
It is there, yeah.
Have you got a fire in the background? It's like a sort of lovely fire crackling noise. Was that?
No, I've just picked a sticker off a notebook.
Oh, right. That's what it is.
We like to listen to toast, and we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to toast. La la la.
Okay, so Vicky, let's move on now. We're in 2013.
Okay.
A whole bunch of random things. Here's an interesting one. Daily rituals, how great minds make time, find inspiration and get to work, how artists work. That's a long title. That's by Mason Curry.
That's a good book. And that was a gift for the cat buying ex who wasn't really doing much.
Oh, right.
So I bought in this book to inspire. This is a book of how people that get shit done get stuff done. So I bought him that book to try and spur him on to doing
that
something.
That is just the best system ever. At the end of every relationship, you should exchange a gift to sort of send you on your way with. That is brilliant. Just you know, this has been great. Have a good life. Read this.
Yeah, read this and get a job.
I love it. Oh, God. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope he's not listening to this, but he won't be. There's no chance. You never know. But
maybe he wants to catch up and see what's happened to you since. The dog's fine. That's the most important thing. So that's Daily Rituals. I mean, did you even look at this book or did you just hand it over?
Yeah, I did. I looked at it. There's some really cool stuff in there. Genuinely, it's sort of one paragraph, two paragraph stories about sort of great composers, great writers, what their daily routine is. And nearly all of it is they manage to get everything done before 5 a.m. and you think, oh, fuck that, I don't care anymore.
Pricks.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be a notable human being. Forget that.
Yeah.
Well, Daily Rituals, how great minds make time, the thing to do. I think often it's a case of get stuff done in the morning, isn't it? Maybe not before 5 a.m, but get it done before lunch. And then after lunch, just sort of, you know, smugly walk around with triumph.
Yeah, I definitely do that. I've started doing that with exercise at the moment. Because during this time, I realised how much like getting in and out of the car in terms of like taking equipment around, how active actually the job I do is, and sort of you're always going around to meetings and castings and you're always on the go. Yeah. And actually, I'm really sedentary at the moment. So I try and get myself out and run.
Yeah.
Run for about 40 minutes. If I do it in the morning, it's not then hanging over me and I get to 5 o'clock and I'm like, oh, fuck, I've got to run.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you've got to get done in the morning. But it's the same with anything creative as well. I feel like we should do some star jumps now, but I'm not sure that would be a great listen if we just started.
I don't think it would be a great listen, no. It's going to be like me picking that sticker earlier.
I like the sticker because it made it into a fireside chat.
Yeah, I actually got a log burner downstairs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It did.
You've probably seen that on the Amazon history. It's probably a lot of firelighters and stuff like that.
All right, okay. So pyromaniac Vicky Stone. Yeah. We'll get on to that. 29th of December 2013, so the end of the year, you have bought, maybe for New Year's Eve, I don't want to project what this might be for, Black Suspender Tights by Gypsy, one size made in Italy.
One size. I mean, that sounds to me like a costume thing, but I can't remember what it was for. What year?
Well, end of 2013.
End of 2013.
Yeah. Yeah. Quickly think of something, otherwise everyone's just going to be thinking sex.
I don't think because the failing relationship was still on, and I don't think it was. I think I was buying books, not sexy tights. So I think they were almost certainly for a costume, but I couldn't tell you what it was for.
Right. Okay. What about this? 7th of December 2013, the adult costume doctor's white lab coat. Sorry, Vicky. You can keep lying to us.
I do know what that is for. That was for Secret Cinema. So Secret Cinema is a thing where you get, it was Ghostbusters.
Right.
So it was the Ghostbusters Secret Cinema at the Troxy or something like that in London. Mm-hmm. And you have to, they send you a big list of, and everyone comes in costume. It's sort of one of those immersive theatre stroke cinema experiences.
Yes.
So that is what Doctor's lab coat was for. But actually that production was really overpriced and a bit shit.
Oh, good feedback. good feedback. Yeah. What was the production?
It was Ghostbusters. So you watch the film Ghostbusters, but they hire a lot of actors and a big sort of Ghostbusters-y type car, and they do bits of Ghostbusters live. And so Secret Cinema have done things like Shawshank Redemption, they've done Moulin Rouge, they've done Back to the Future, and they make enormous sets, but this is one of their early ones. Ghostbusters, it's about £80 a ticket, and it was really shit.
£80?
I know, it was really shit.
And so you're doing this, you're as a punter, you're not, this isn't an acting gig, this is you going as a punter.
And I had to buy my own lab coat. That's me going as a punter, yeah.
Well, £80 plus £17.40 for the lab coat, so that's nearly £100 you've dropped on essentially watching Ghostbusters with a bit more atmosphere.
Well, that was it, yes, that was it. And for me, there wasn't enough uplift in what was going on. So it's like, I'm literally wearing a lab coat in the Troxy's, just a big sort of big old Art Deco ballroom type venue.
Yeah.
And just watching Ghostbusters on a big screen while some badly paid actors do a bit of Ghostbusters around me.
Oh, there's nothing worse than, and I've certainly been there, the badly paid actor working at a tourist's location. For example, I worked at Madame Tussauds years ago, and I've been back to various tourist things since as a punter, and you just think, oh guys, it's okay. Oh no, it's just so, because they give it their all, and yet all the actors playing all different ranges, they're all about 23.
Yeah, oh God, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it was not good. And I've been put off. I've not been to one since, and they've done some really good stuff that loads of people say is really amazing. But because I had that, because I basically dropped £80 on it was, I think it was such a horrendous waste of money.
I like a good bit of negativity. We don't do that enough. We're always trying to spin things on this show, going, well, you know, some people enjoy it. No, fuck it. Sounds like it was shit. Let's move on.
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My matey bought a toaster.
Let's jump into 2014. So where are you in 2014? You're on the circuit, you're doing your comedy. Have you got onto telly at this point, or has that not happened yet?
Yes, I had. Yeah, definitely. And also, I think 2014 was maybe my third Edinburgh show.
Okay.
So I'd already done three, you know, I'd toured already, three Edinburghs. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's see what we've got in 2014. We've got July 2014, maybe before you go up to Edinburgh, the female hanging body form half torso. That's, again.
That's actually to sell stuff on eBay. So that is a hanging, that is like a mannequin, half a mannequin that hangs on with some tits.
Yeah, lovely tits on. There on that. Yeah, I can say that's okay for me to say it, Vicky. It's fine, you know, it's not pervy.
It's a coat hanger. It's a coat hanger with tits.
that sounds like an amazing way of throwing shade on like Katie Price or someone like that.
But it is, isn't it? If you look at the description, that is a coat hanger with tits. And I use that to photograph clothes that I sell on eBay. That is what that is for.
I can't get past coat hanger with tits. I'm writing it down on a piece of paper. Guys, if you're listening to this, take a note. If you ever want to slag someone off you don't like, she's just a coat hanger with tits. And then you can nudge one of your boobs with the back of your right hand. Okay, so coat hanger with tits there. That's July 2014.
So I was probably panicking that Edinburgh wasn't going to go well. So I had to shift some stuff off eBay.
Getting ready to sell stuff. Hang on, so these are your own clothes or stuff you've made?
No, own clothes. Right. So just like selling off. Like selling stuff on eBay.
It's a really ominous sign. It's like someone buying a trestle table for a yard sale after Edinburgh or something. You know, why are you getting that stuff? Just getting ready.
Just getting ready.
Because I'm going to burn it all. Also, July 2014, four LEDs flashing light up tambourine style flash sway bells.
Okay, so four light up tambourines. That's definitely last minute. Fuck my Edinburgh show needs work. Mm. I know. Flashing tambourines.
Great.
Yeah. It was a show called Instrumental, and it was about it was a show that I had 20 odd instruments in, and I probably bought flashing tambourines, but I actually never used the flashing tambourines in the show. In the end, they were a panic buy, and I actually ended up finding them and using them in last year's Edinburgh show.
Oh, great!
So they got used.
So they're the gift that keep on giving. Well, not quite keep on giving. Eventually, give like
eventually
a delay.
Yeah.
So in the same way that your ex panic bought a cat. They're the weirdest things that have ever been panic bought on the My Mate Bought a Toaster. You panic bought some light up tambourine style flash sway bells. They look like the sort of thing that you might, the sort of very modern Christians might use as well. Because there is still an association, isn't there, with a certain type of faith stuff. You know, getting a tambourine out, banging the bells.
They're quite good. And I used them in this year's Edinburgh show because I had a sort of joke or a bit about tambourines in the show because my partner came home, my new, it's not that new anymore, but my fiance, he went to a percussion auction in Bath, and he came home with 26 tambourines. So, and when your partner comes home with a flight case of 26 tambourines that he proudly bought at auction, you can't not tell an audience about that because, I mean, that's a lot of tambourines, isn't it?
I mean, that's a polyphonic spree's worth of tambourines right there.
And he also bought a box of assorted bells, just a box of assorted bells.
What is it about you that makes men buy shit for you?
It was not for me, it's for himself.
Well, still there's an element of, here we are, darling, I've added to our life with this. No one buys a bell for themselves, do they? If you think about it, Vicky, every single bell you've ever bought is for the benefit of other people.
I mean, these are sort of bells that you would hang off like a stand and then hit with a stick for like Atmos. Mm. Mm.
Mm. Wow, okay, so lots of bells in your life, that's good.
Okay,
what else have we got? January 2014, so we're going back in time a bit here. I just wanted to mention this because I'm a huge fan and this is now becoming a weekly thing. This is good, actually. This is basically my top three or four bands we've done in the last few weeks. We've done Gene from the 90s, we've done The Divine Comedy, and now this week, Ben Folds. Ben Folds presents University A Cappella. I love Ben Folds.
Yes, I like Ben Folds, and Ben Folds and I have had like a little DM conversation.
Oh,
on Twitter.
What?
I know. Clang.
That's one of those bells going off.
I saw him play he wrote a piano concerto for himself, and I saw him play it with the orchestra at the Barbican, and a lot of my mates are in that orchestra that he plays with when he comes to the UK.
Right.
And I saw his piano concerto, and I thought, that's really cool. He's written a piano concerto for himself. Mm. And it was that's what gave me the idea to write one for myself. I wrote myself, I called it the Concerto for Comedian and Orchestra. And so I was having a little chat with Ben Folds about that.
You wrote a piano concerto?
I wrote a concerto for comedian and orchestra. Ben Folds wrote a piano concerto.
Okay, hang on. So
I went on a Radio 3 show called Essential Classics, and I played Ben Folds' third movement of his piano concerto, and it was the first time that it had any radio play, so he thanked me.
Oh my God.
So there we go.
Oh yeah. My God, that's amazing. That's amazing. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play a little bit of that now. Can I play, what is your thing and can I play that? Is that possible?
It's not online, my concerto.
Okay, fine.
That's a different conversation. I've got a recording of it, but I can't afford to buy the musicians out.
Oh.
So I've got it, but I'd need to pay 26 people £120 in order to broadcast it.
Could you give them a bell each? Would they accept that? Or?
Apparently not, though. Okay.
All right, let's leap on into 2015 now, Vicky Stone. Let's see what we've got here. We've got some chlorine tablets for swimming pools and spas. I mean, what's happening here? Have you got a secret swimming pool we need to know about?
Yeah, you know those bad ideas, sort of backyard swimming pools that are sort of a bit too big, really? They're sort of halfway between a paddling pool.
Yes.
Well, you know those.
Yes, we've seen lots of them in lockdown, haven't we? Because various people have got them I think one Olympic swimmer's been training in one of them.
Now, they are they take an obscene amount of time to fill up. Oh, so they take like 10 hours to fill up. And then they go green like within like 2 days.
Yeah.
So you've actually got to put these chlorine tablets in the bloody thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because otherwise you've just got 400 litres of algae. They're just not, they're so shit. I got rid of the swimming pool very quickly after it was about a couple of weeks of like, I've really got to put these chlorine tablets in. This is not pleasurable.
This is such a strange kind of like, again, was it a spontaneous buy? You buying this thing for your back garden or what?
No, I think someone gave it to us. So I think someone said, oh, do you want this pool? And I was like, yeah, I love this pool. Thanks. And they were actually handing us a poison chalice.
Literally.
Just a waste of water. All it did was waste water. I think the dog went in it once.
Oh, God. Vicky Stone with the bells and the stolen cat and a pool that someone gave her in the back garden. We've had a miniature of this because we've got quite a big paddling pool. And I got paranoid. When it's very, very hot, I just thought, well, all my kids are going to get malaria or something. I don't even know, cholera, dysentery, whatever it is. So I bought some chlorine tablets as well. And it was quite comforting in a way because it made the paddling pool smell of the swimming pool. And it brought back a happy memory. You remember public swimming pools? You remember the ones?
Sort of vaguely. I mean, I've been wild swimming all throughout lockdown. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Right. So Kerry Godleyman came on this show a few weeks ago, and she was harping on about wild swimming as well. She absolutely loves it. Tell us more.
Yeah, I do it all year round. So the coldest swim, and I'm quite proud of this, the coldest swim I've had has been 4 degrees water. Wow. In the Hampstead Heath ponds in London. Yeah. But at the moment, I'm in the Derbyshire Dales, and I'm just going in lots of different rivers.
Oh my word, it's so beautiful. And do you find spots where there's like lots of people swimming? Do you have the sort of the comfort of a gaggle of people swimming? Or do you just think, there we go, I'm going up to Bakewell and I'll just jump in.
Yeah, there's lots of websites that give you a bit of advice. There's a proper swimming spot that's got a sign that says you can swim here. Mm. I never go in that when it's warm. I go in that when it's raining and cold because there's nobody else there, which is really nice because you've got this really nice, which is a hugely popular swimming spot, which there's no one around here that seems to do. I've not spotted another sort of bad weather wild swimmer, which is really cool. As a friend of mine who comes as well, we just go together and jump in these sort of really these really popular spots that are really crowded when it's warm, and go in it when it's raining and cold.
It's just absolutely idyllic. Does the dog go in with you?
Sometimes, but he won't swim for very long. So I tend not to take him. But
sometimes... do you like travel? Do you like swim? Do you just do a big circle in a reservoir? Or do you like go down river or something?
Well, it depends what river you're in. So there's one river which I swim in called the Derwent. And you can either swim upstream into the current, and it's like a treadmill, and you go nowhere because the current is so the current is so strong. But then you wouldn't ever go in that in the rain, so you'd have to be fairly good weather and have not rained, otherwise the current is not safe. Mm. So I'm quite good at river safety now, about sort of knowing which rivers have the strongest currents and which rivers are best for what weather.
Like, you know, if live comedy's on its knees, you can become a river guide.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about starting a wild swimming podcast, and then I thought, better not, eh? I mean, we went to a place the other day, and a place called Mapleton, and we went for a swim under this bridge, and it was lovely, but there was loads of discarded pants. So there was about 3 pairs of men's boxers and other like cans of lager and stuff like that. And so we became those people who went, and went, oh, I know what we'll do. We will bring a bin liner and gloves on the next time here, and we'll clean it up. And I think that's a real sign of middle age, I think, that we want we will now take bin stuff to clean up. If we go to a place and it's got rubbish, we'll clean it up.
I think that's highly commendable. I think that's
It's definitely a sign of aging, 100%.
Yeah, no, it really is. It really is. When you start to notice litter, you have to be of a
but
certain.
It's not
age.
Just noticing litter; it's wanting to do the right thing with the litter as well.
Mm. Quite good though to make a course while you're swimming. You know, it gives an added element to the wild swimming. Take one of those litter picker uppers and kind of swim with those like Edward Scissorhands either side of you. That's quite a, you know, it's a new sport. Could be,
yeah,
maybe not. All right, so wild swimming. God, we've bloody hell, Vicky. We've touched on some things, haven't we?
There's a lot in there.
Yeah. Get up to Derbyshire now. Listen to Vicky Stone. Go and float like a stone down the beautiful rivers of Derbyshire. May 2015, you've bought the Guide to the Night Sky and a Celestron Travel Scope 70 refractor outfit. Now, is this you actually getting into astronomy, or is this your way of getting to Brian Cox? Because I know you are a fan of Brian Cox, because I've seen evidence that you are a fan of Brian Cox.
That was actually a gift.
Ah!
That was a present. So that's what that was. That was a present for my fiancé's dad, I think.
Oh, nice.
So there we go.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Can you tell us about the Brian Cox thing, please, though?
Yeah. The Brian Cox, I think I wrote the song in maybe 2012.
Sure.
And I think I did it on the telly in 2014,
mm-hmm,
2015. Mm-hmm. Did it on the John Bishop show. So it's a song about Brian Cox, and it's basically just full of science puns. But there's two things. One thing, when I did it on the John Bishop show, the science puns, one of the things I wanted to make sure was that the science is all correct. So there's loads of stuff in there that, A, you can just find funny without really knowing what it means, but all the particle physics is right. To the point where I... About 2 days after being on the John Bishop show, I get a phone call from the people at CERN.
Sure.
Actual CERN.
Right.
I was like, right, okay. This is interesting. And they invited me to do a TED talk.
What?
At CERN. I was, so basically when they do this TEDx CERN, you know, the series of TED Talks every year at CERN, and they have two arts performers every year, and it was me and Imogen Heap, and so yeah, I became really good. I'm still great mates with Imogen Heap because of us hanging out at CERN for a week, and yeah, it was really weird that they built a stage on top of the Large Hadron Collider, one of the sort of big points in France.
Yeah.
We stayed in Switzerland, but it's on the border. The Hadron Collider goes in and out of Switzerland and France.
Yeah, it's by Lake Geneva, so, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's where that song took me. So I think that's really the fullest, do you know what I mean? That's really seeing something through to its fullest extent.
You are like a talent particle whizzing around, flying over to France and Switzerland and singing the song, sing a song for CERN, basically.
Yeah. It was great, though. It was really good fun. It was really good fun.
Can we have a listen to it? Can we play out a bit of the song on the podcast? We'll just play like 10 seconds of it.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a quick listen. Here we go.
A lot can happen in 18 minutes, but don't run over. You know, there's limits to how much your mind can actually be blown. With talks about the little things, protons, neutrons, the outs and ins of atoms, or a tiny little quark, to bigger stuff, the Hadron Collider, the Earth, the stars, and even wider, how did I end up giving a TED talk? Come join the world of science.
Amazing. Isn't that brilliant? I love stuff like that. Just, you know, you're doing your songs and you're either getting Ben Folds on the blower or CERN. fantastic.
Yeah. Do you want another little amusing story about the John Bishop show when I did that song? So I did my sound check and I'd done all my mic tests and I was happy with the sound. Mm. And I'm quite paranoid about the sound, especially when it's recorded live, because if you have to retake it, you won't get the laughs in the right place.
Yeah.
So I was happy with that. Took a while on the tech rehearsal. And then someone wanted to put a lapel mic on me. And I was like, I don't want to have a lapel mic on because we've not teched it. So I'm sorry. I don't want to do it. I don't want any sound that I haven't teched.
Quite right.
So
yeah.
I don't want to wear this lapel mic. And I was kicking up a little bit of a fuss. So I didn't have one on. And then it suddenly, and they during the day, they were pushing my slot further and further back. And I was like, oh shit, I'm going to get cut. Mm. I should have worn a lapel mic. I'm going to get cut. And so I'd go to the record, and we're recording it live at the Hackney Empire. And at the end of the song, out comes Brian Cox with a bunch of flowers, wearing a t-shirt with my face on. Now, I'm really surprised, but I'm also, my brain is going, that's why they wanted you to wear the lapel mic.
No. Fuck.
So then I've come off the piano. I'm not wearing a microphone. I'm in the center of the stage. I know that anything I say won't get picked up. I'm not wearing a fucking mic. So I am now talking directly into Brian Cox's chest.
Which is where your face is.
Yeah. So I'm literally talking, anything I say goes straight into his lapel mic. So that's the moral of the story, is just do what professionals tell you.
That's incredible. So yeah. If there's video footage out there of you chatting to Brian Cox, then it looks like you're sort of making physical advances on him.
Yeah.
But you're...
All I'm doing is trying to make the edit.
Oh, that's brilliant. I will not have a lapel mic. No. Do you not know who I am? Do you have any idea? Would you give Mariah Carey or Celine Dion a lapel mic? I don't think you would. Away with you. Oh my God, it's Brian Cox. That's wonderful. How was Brian Cox? Nice man?
Yeah, he's a nice man. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And all the sort of celebs I wrote songs about in the early days, they're all very compliant. You know, they all wanted to be part of it and everyone was very happy to sort of be part of it. Like Philip Schofield was very accommodating, and Hilary DeVay and all these various people that I did, you know, I sort of got to meet them all, and it was quite cool.
It's nice. You just think, right, which celebrity would I like to meet next? I'm going to write a song about them. Easy.
Well, I ended up becoming quite good friends with Hilary DeVay after I made a sketch about her.
Yes.
And I've been to her house in Morocco twice.
What?
Yes.
This is incredible. This is incredible. All because of a song.
Yeah, I did a sketch about Hillary. Yeah, I did a sketch about how she how she taught. You remember she was on Dragon's Den?
Yeah.
And she's the one that taught that. Yeah. And she had massive shoulder pads, and I did this sort of how to create Hilary DeVay. And I did this thing about taping tins of cat food on my shoulders and then putting on a jacket. It's quite good.
This is great.
I'm not that funny anymore. I was quite funny in the old days.
You are. You know you still are. I was about to say you peaked, but you live in the peak, so it's all fine. It's brilliant as well, because, you know, if you do want to meet a celebrity now, just like, right, what rhymes with Gosling? Here we go. Come on, Ryan. Come on. Here, Ryan. The women anti-skidding slipper beach pool shoes. I've never skidded up any pool shoes myself, but that's probably a good thing to have, I guess.
Are they blue?
They are blue. Yeah.
They are. I mean, yeah, they're, I don't really use them for pools. They're more of a sort of a European cleaner shoe, you know? Sort of housework.
It's a good look.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean, because my wife's got some white ones, very, very similar. And they are a sort of, there's a sort of, like a rubber clog vibe.
Yeah, like a sort of.
You're working in a kitchen or a hospital or something like that.
Yeah, and then they're not attractive in any way, and I don't really go out the house in them.
No,
I'll put the bins out in them. Sure.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're sort of bin shoes.
Bin shoes. Everyone needs a practical bin shoe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's a good way to live.
And let's move on. His 27th of October 2019, Vicky. We've bought the Envy Bed Fresh mattress and bedding deodorizer, freshener, and urine cleaner spray. Everything okay?
Burt pissed the bed.
Okay.
So there it is. But just got on the bed. Yeah. It was a brand new, I couldn't believe it, brand new mattress.
Oh God, he was making it his.
Yeah, brand new mattress, just actually took a piss on it. Bert hasn't weed inside for years. Years and years and years. Like, just doesn't do it. Completely house trained, wouldn't do it. And you just get there and there's this massive, and apparently we just moved and bought a new mattress, and dogs worry if they think that their home is under threat.
Yes.
So it's to do with being afraid. So he was, we'd obviously gone out and he was not sure where he was and wanting to feel a sense of home. So did it by soaking a brand new mattress with urine. So that's what that is.
It's really hard to get that smell out as well. It's a nightmare.
That spray's pretty good, you know, actually.
I might get some.
It doesn't smell of piss anymore.
Well, that brings us neatly on to, and we're in 2020 now, the January 2020, you've bought Thundershirt anxiety coat for dog. I promised at the beginning of this podcast that we'd get onto this. So this is literally a hug for a dog. The other option, Vicky, and this might be a bit weird, is you can just get me over and I'll just hug Bert forever, because I would do that gladly for any dog that needs hugging.
Oh yeah, this is his as he gets older, he's got some, his anxiety is sort of manifesting in strange ways. And a lot of it is he'll scratch himself. He started to scratch himself where there's nothing to scratch. And he keeps scratching until it's bleeding.
Yes. So, oh, but he's a good boy.
I know, he's a good boy.
I mean, he did piss the bed, but he's a good boy.
He's a good boy. So he's anxious and... so he has his little shirt on and he's less anxious and doesn't scratch himself.
So it works then?
Yeah, it does work. Yeah. It allows him to not worry. So he's not creating open wounds.
But with the shirt, it's interesting though, isn't it? When my dog is ill, when she's got something wrong with her, all my calmness disappears. It evaporates. If my dog is anxious and fidgety, like she's just so my demon that whatever she's doing bounces back onto me. So as long as I calm her down and she's chilled, it makes me feel completely fine and happy. It's really weird. It's like, they're like a mirror of you, aren't they? So when they're calm, it's all fine.
Yeah, it's funny because Bert at the moment, I'm taking him anywhere I can in the car because he is a dog that almost like no routine is his routine. So that he's always coming. He'll come to gigs and he'll go to gigs with my fiance and he'll go to the studio and he'll sit in his basket in his recording studio whilst Rick plays the drums, and the drums and stuff, it doesn't bother him. It's all part of his routine. It's like coming around all these places and just wants to constantly go in the car. So I'm just taking him to the supermarket and just he's happy to sit. He wants to sit in the back of the car. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come and, he's every time we open the door, he's like, can I come? Can I come too?
So you just say yes. Yeah, you bloody can.
Come.
You know what you need to do? You need to get one of those hug coats things, one of those jackets, and just get some fluorescent paint. And then paint it bright yellow, and then write therapy dog, and then he can come everywhere with you. Everywhere. Cinemas, supermarkets, all of it.
Yeah. I think all dogs are what they call them, emotional support animals. All dogs are that.
Yeah.
Regardless of their official status or not.
Did you hear about the guy in America who had this sounds like a setup to a joke, it's not. He had an emotional support peacock.
Oh, no, I hadn't heard about that.
Yes, he did. He had a peacock and he used to fly. He was allowed to fly around the country with his emotional support peacock.
Whatever people need.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Whatever you need to get through the day.
Where the hell's my peacock?
Where is my peacock?
Now, Vicky, we are getting towards the end of our time with you. Thank you so much for doing this. And Vicky Stone, what a journey. I feel like we've jumped in and we've headed downriver with you. And we've been all over the place. It's absolutely fascinating.
We've covered a lot.
We've been very efficient, yeah. And there's more here in lockdown. The ultimate, maybe we should leave on this because there's nothing sexier than talking about the ultimate foot file hard skin remover. Yes, please.
Yes, that is like that. It's a cheese grater for your feet.
Oh, it is literally a cheese grater, isn't it? That is...
Yeah, it's a cheese grater.
That is how they make Parmesan, to be fair.
I am very much missing having a pedicure. Very much missing that. I do like having a stranger cheese grate my feet. But obviously that's not something that's readily available. So I've had to, quite early into lockdown, bought my own foot cheese grater. Mm. I did suggest that me and my fiancé have a spa evening. And I was like, look, I can put your feet in a kitchen bowl. And I'll cheese grater them. And he was like, absolutely not, no. And I'm a bit upset because I think I would have enjoyed that, but he won't let me cheese grater his feet.
Unbelievable.
Selfish.
That is really, really selfish.
How much that cost? Like 12 quid or something?
You know what? I mean, maybe with this partner, I mean, I know he's a fiance. It sounds like everything's going very well. Maybe it's time to buy him Daily Rituals, How Great Minds Make Time, Find Inspiration and Get to Work, How Artists Work.
Or a cat.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. If anyone ever brings you a cat they've got from the back of a restaurant, it's time to end it. Listen, I'm bringing this podcast, I'm bringing this episode, a proverbial cat from the back of a restaurant. We're going to bring things to a close. Vicky Stone, thank you so much for joining me on My Mate Bought a Toaster. What a brilliant bunch of stuff and what an amazing array of things you've done. I mean, God, heaving into Brian Cox's chest has to be a highlight, surely. I mean, that's just...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's been great. I'd forgotten about things I'd bought.
I know. This is why it's useful. It's a very useful way. This is a diary that's sitting online for everyone just to go through all their stuff.
Yeah.
Vicky, you're on social media. I know that for a fact. What's your Twitter bits, please?
At Vicky Stone, V-I-K-K-I, because I am a child of the 80s.
There you go. Very nice indeed. All right. Thank you, Vicky Stone. Take care.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Ah, the wonderful Vicky Stone. How brilliant is she? What a load of stories. What a load of things. Fantastic things she's done. There you go. That's the end of another episode. Thank you for listening. Give us a follow at ToasterPod on Instagram and on Twitter. And give us a rate and a review. If you fancy it, you can. And apart from that, stay safe, stay well, wash your hands. See you next week. Bye. Lots of love. Bye-bye. As long as I love you, I think I love you. When I'm without you, I think about you. Please don't believe me. Don't see me. By the way, after part, I can't. It's the same always. GreatBigOwl.com.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
My name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world.
You add any noises?
What about a door creaking?
You don't have to do it.
That weird kadoonk that lights going off makes for some reason in films.
All Rather Mysterious.